All right, good morning. This is the Willamette Fish Passage Operations and Maintenance Team meeting. Let's go see who's on the phone first.
This is Cameron, ODFW.
This is Grant, Green Forks Minto.
Ryan Couture, ODFW.
That's it. Well, good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for calling in. Here around the table, this is Tammy with Portland District.
Aaron Kovalchuk, Portland District.
Dan Turner, Portland District.
Chris Walker, Portland District.
And Ian Shane, Portland District.
All right. On some of the previous minutes. All right, so are there any additions to the agenda? Hearing none, let's go to the next agenda item, approving the August Wolf Palm minutes. Did everyone have a chance to review those and provide any additional comments? Quick meeting, we'll say that those are approved unless we hear from NOAA Fisheries later. So moving on to action items, Chris.
So going back briefly, NOAA did provide comments and they were incorporated and those will be posted to the web soon. So the first action item was one for myself and Andy in regards to looking at how to possibly get fish into the ladder at Foster and detailing any changes that Brett Boyd, the manager, made to accomplish that. I haven't done the MFR, but I did receive a spreadsheet detailing what he did. So I'll take that spreadsheet and create an MFR if that's the appropriate place for that.
Sure. And we'll just attach that spreadsheet as well.
Okay. And yeah, the next one was just incorporating his comments.
Yes, that has been done and those meeting minutes will be posted to the web shortly. All right, updates. HMT updates. Ryan, do you want to lead that off?
Sure. So we didn't have an HMT meeting this month. I think it was scheduled for last week, and Andy postponed it, so we didn't meet. But in terms of program updates, I guess I'll let Greg kick off the north with a Minto update, if you want to go ahead, Greg.
All right, well, I'll start with Marion Forks. Everything's going well up there. The new improved weir that Cam and his team helped with it at Marion Creek seems to be holding back the adults so far for spawning. We haven't seen any activity above the intake for the first time in a few years, which is good news. Fish growth and health also are excellent right now up there. As far as Minto, we completed spawning 462 females. Were spawned. We only had one Eliza BKD positive, which is the lowest we've seen in a long time, which was good news. We collected a total of 2,944 Chinook. Of those, 1,238 were outplanted up into the Brighton Bush and North Sandy Am. Summer steelhead total collections, 4,342, which is the largest run since 2003. All I can say is the fish culture is this year with the lower flows, the temperature was about as optimal as you can get without the ability to spill. The quality of the fish, the low disease, low copepod. We only had 15 adult holding mortalities all year. The fish culture is stream with the water flow and temperatures we had this year. Is that all I got?
Thanks.
For the south, things are going pretty well. Brett's wrapped up spawning. They had their last spawn last week, so things are going well. Plenty of brood to meet brood goals. The only real issue at Foster has been the bulkhead hoist or lift, so they've had some issues there. The maintenance staff there at Foster has been pretty responsive working with Brett and his crew, but handling fish has been not as designed and certainly less than ideal. Extra handling, moving fish, they're having to load fish into the truck, drive them around and shoot them through a hose across the spawn table into the anesthetic. So it's been definitely a hurdle, but they're working through some issues there, hoping to address some of that in the shutdown period. So other than that, South Sandy and Foster, things are going well. For McKenzie, really no update other than same kind of story. Spawning's going well. They're on target to meet brood numbers. Pipeline project's all finished. They patched the asphalt this week. So that's all done and buttoned up. And for the Middle Fork, same story. Spawning's going well at Willamette. Pre-spawn mortality has been much lower than last year. Dan's hoping to make production. Once we get IDAG numbers, we'll know where we're at. But Willamette's probably going to be the closest facility in terms of IDAG take. So, and that's what I got for Willamette. So yeah, I guess that's all the updates I have.
Thank you. For the HDMP updates, those are still sitting over at NOAA Fisheries. We have not yet, to my knowledge, received a sufficiency letter on those, but we are hoping to get one soon. How about any research updates?
Yeah, the only thing I heard was that we're beginning to embark on the foster fishware study again that we do every year. Downstream fish passage.
Water quality?
Temperatures are typical for this time of year. Cougars, but we're about to lose. The elevations are dropping too low to use the water temperature control tower. So we'll be going to the lower outlets and we'll see a drop in temperature coming up here. And then at Detroit, temperatures are between targets right now, but we're with the drop in target on October 1st, we'll be opening up the upper RO and starting to mix in temperature from there to try to bring down temperatures to meet the October targets. That should start October 1st.
All right. Flow update?
For flows, most of our sub-basins are near or at minimum buyout flows, with the exception of flows on the South Sanium, where we coordinated flows of 1,200 CFS for spawning, which again are below our buyout minimums, which was coordinated with the region. That's all I had.
Did BPA join us on the phone?
Oh, yeah.
Do you have any updates?
Water still runs downhill, and the system is flowing. No updates. Thank you, though.
Excellent. Glad to hear that. All right, Cougar Fish Facility.
So for the Cougar Fish Facility, briefly, today we've collected and transported 274 unmarked spring chinook, and those were transported above the project, I believe. I have to check the spreadsheet again. Just check it really quick. And then for Fall Creek, we've collected 418 unmarked Chinook salmon, and those went above project. We've collected 71 clipped Chinook, and those were returned to the tail race. We've collected 8 winter steelhead to date, and 56 summer steelhead. And let me pull up Chad Helm's spreadsheet really quick to verify that.
While Chris is looking at that, did anyone else join us on the phone?
Elizabeth from the Valley.
Hey Chris, this is Cameron.
Hey Cam.
Did you repeat what you said was outplanted from Cougar, unmarked fish?
Yeah, I'm opening up the spreadsheet right now to make sure I got the right number. I added my notes. Oh, there it is.
last one I got has 160 unmarked fish above.
Yeah, that may have been the collected number, but let me... Okay, so I have, for unmarked fish, I had 160 transported above, is that what you had?
Yes, correct.
And then marked, in terms of the Cougar ops, I had 62. I don't know if you have that number or not.
I do. That's from the most recent spreadsheet. So the bottom line is that there's 48% of the fish that were captured and transported downstream were ultimately then recaptured and put above Cougar, which is lower than last year, but we were hoping for more of a September, early October push. But as I understand it, that's not going to happen now because Cougar is down.
Oh, well, yeah, we can talk about that. Which is the next agenda item, actually. So it's back up. So I'll just get into the MFRs and MLCs. The first one is in regards to the outage at Cougar that occurred last week where we had problems with our pumps. The facility was down for approximately a week. It was restarted Monday. Haven't heard much since that last item in terms of the facility being back online. But it is back online in operation. Any other questions in regards to the Cougar Fish Facility failure or operations in general? Okay. I'll also mention that we actually were able to purchase an additional pump this year. So going into next year, we'll have a total of 4 pumps available for the facility, which only requires 2, so we'll have a fully redundant system in place, which will be good for next year if we have similar problems.
This is Elizabeth at Lookout Point. That pump that has been ordered has a long lead time, so it won't be here until May.
Okay. Thank you. Moving on to the next item, MFR 16. 04. It was in relation to a power issue back in late July where a breaker tripped and ODF&W and Willamette Valley staff responded and were able to get the system back online. So there wasn't really an issue in terms of fish mortalities. At least at the time, that's what I thought, but I had later heard that potentially we could have lost a good number of spring Chinook that were at the facility at the time, and that's why I put together the MFR, which is coming out now. And I don't know, Greg or Ryan, if you have anything to add to that.
Yeah, I guess I was just surprised to learn that some people thought that was the normal operation of the facility to have a total failure of all water. I don't know why you would build a fish facility with that as one of the options, but it sounds like to protect some of the equipment that all systems will go ahead and shut down and have no water pumping. To me, it's really unacceptable, I guess, as a fish culturist. Talking to different electricians from both Detroit and then Doug up there, there's a couple of options of moving that breaker that doesn't allow the generator to not kick on, but it's that. From what I understand, we had a power outage. The main power took out the breaker of the generator, and then when the power was restored, the generator couldn't respond either way. So, yeah, I mean, we were down without water for an hour and 20 minutes, and luckily with the electrician in state, and otherwise we'd have lost 1,100 brood stock and 200 or 300, you know, in the pre-sort. The problem is when we lose all power, I can't even get in the gates.
Right.
So I'd really like to try to figure out if there's a way to change that, or we're just going to have to accept that at some point we're totally lost. I can't move crowders. I can't move any fish out. I can't, you know, we're basically stuck.
Right, Greg. And it is unacceptable having that gate not being able to function manually, and that's something that maybe we can look into. You know, we have that backup generator to go on in case these things happen. It just so happens that it didn't kick on, and I think that we need to look into that design further. And I know that some of our engineers are working that issue.
Yeah, this is Ryan. I'll just echo what Greg said, that seems like, you know, a bit of a design flaw. Sounds like you guys are working on it, Chris, so that's good to hear. With a backup generator, that should, in theory at least, have powered those pumps, and a pump down or pump offline time of an hour with that many brood fish on hand is absolutely, I mean, we can't plan for that. I mean, that's unacceptable. So hopefully we can come up with a good solution.
Right.
Sounds like folks are working on it, so that's great to hear.
Some of the next steps, one thing that was already completed was a power analyzer was installed. So if it does happen again, which hopefully it doesn't, we'll have a better understanding of why. One of our engineers also mentioned that the protective settings on that breaker were compared to design settings, and that perhaps that they're a little too sensitive than what they were designed for. So that's something that potentially could be adjusted and maybe alleviate the situation, but we're still looking into it.
Thanks, Chris.
So we do want to make sure that anytime there's a pump failure that Chris is notified so that we can put together an MFR, and as we collect more and more of these documents, it will help justify the case to potentially relook at Minto or any other fish facility as far as design and what's actually happening on the ground.
Well, I guess for me, the chain of command is I talk to Detroit. I don't know if Chris is aware, we've had 12 pump failures in the last 3 weeks on a ground fault. It sounds like the components of some of the VFDs were under a recall. Is that something you want me to report to you, too? I don't know if you realize it. We're having basically pump failures every 2 or 3 days.
We're having a lot of pump problems, yeah. So, Greg, you're correct in that your chain of command in terms of response to a facility issue, but in terms of notification and documentation and the services goes, give myself a ring. I know that Tyler did actually give us a call.
Sure.
So that was good. I just didn't realize that we were close to another fish mortality event. Until I talked to you.
I just want to make sure that I'm trying not to overstep my bounds, but, you know, it's, I guess I'll just try to CC you on most everything I send out then.
That works.
That'd be perfect. Thanks. Right, next one.
So the next one, another issue at Minto, where a circuit breaker tripped while we were lifting fish in a hopper. The specific breaker was in an elevated panel. I'm not sure exactly where the location or how high.
All the way on top of that sky crane.
So the gist is no one could respond fast enough, even though ODF&W in the valley project staff did get there fairly quickly in time in terms of addressing the issue, and by the time they got there, we observed approximately 60 spring Chinook mortalities. I know that some initial troubleshooting was done to determine the cause, but I don't believe that has occurred yet in terms of knowing why it happened. But I do know, I've talked to some of our design engineers this week, and they are looking into that issue as well as to why that would have happened during lifting those spring Chinook.
Yeah, kind of an anomaly. We've been running that for 3 years, and that's the only time we've ever seen it happen. So the load was headed to the North Sandy Am, outplanted hatchery Chinook. The hopper reached its highest peak to go over to the truck, and yeah, that sky crane just tripped out. And I'll give kudos on both of these issues to the Detroit crew. They were here immediately, and you know, unfortunately by the time they got the boom truck here to actually get up to that elevated position, we had lost the load. But It wasn't because of their fault. They worked hard to try to save everything. So.
And I know that they're looking into it still, but there's some discussion about possibly moving that panel where it's more accessible. Some other things potentially could occur that may alleviate the problem. So that's where that stands now. So those first three MFRs went out on Monday, and comments are due on those October 11th for folks. If you want to put your comments in writing.
Yeah, my only comment on that, with that hopper or the sky crane trip, that wasn't a power outage. That was just during normal operations. So
right, yeah, I incorporated that into my version. And so in the final version, that'll be on there. Any other questions or comments regarding that last one? All right. The next MFR is in regards to Fall Creek RO repairs that will occur.
Can I ask a quick question related to the Minto issues and just wondering, do we have a similar design at Foster, and is this something that we should look at before we have an issue at Foster?
Well, I know the hopper designs are very similar, but as to where the panel is, I couldn't tell you.
Okay, I think that wouldn't be a bad idea to look at, so we can troubleshoot that before something does occur there.
Yeah, talking with Andy, we were going to try and see if all of us were available to go down next week or shortly thereafter to take a look at it, just so we can see where are these and what can we do. Have you been to Minto yet?
No.
Oh, field trip.
All right, so Fall Creek, we're going to be doing some repairs on the RO next the next couple of years, but the MFR is in relation to a drawdown where we have to install a bulkhead. We did receive some comments from NIMS. In summary, they would like to see us do some monitoring and evaluation of the drawdown in terms of fish passage. Another comment was they would like to see us delay refill longer to gain more information or additional information regarding downstream fish passage. And I'm guessing that more than likely these the discussions have occurred at the R&E team, but I'm not sure if they have or not. There's no one here. But you attend those R&E teams?
No, but I think it is going to be coming up at the R&E team, and I think that discussion should occur there.
Okay.
And then we can circle back and see what that means for the proposed operation for the repair.
Okay. So I guess that once that's kind of buttoned up, then we can discuss, the operation and what needs to happen to make it happen.
Correct.
So. And then their last comment was that we need to coordinate more on design when we do these types of things. There's an RPA that states that when we do a structural modification that we're supposed to provide them designs. This isn't really a modification, it's more of a repair, so I don't know if it's something that we'd actually pursue further or not, but we can surely discuss that if we think we need to. Any questions or comments regarding that? Okay, the last MFR is just in regards to flows. We already kind of talked about that, in that flows on the South Sandy are below biop minimums, and again, those were coordinated with the region, and it's just documented here. And I believe, I'm not sure when those comments are due. Comments are due. Oh, they were already due. So that's pretty much a final MFR. Any questions regarding any of these MFRs or comments? All right,
moving on to the WFOP.
Again.
The
WFOP will be provided, a draft will be provided in October, which we can briefly go over kind of the major changes at our October meeting. And then I believe comments are due sometime in December. I couldn't tell you the date exactly.
By the end of December.
Okay.
All right, task group updates.
The first one is in regards to the North Sandy Temperature Target Work Group. And we'll be meeting after the next Wolf Palm in October. And I'll be providing some read-aheads for that.
All right, how about, do you have any update for the flow task room?
I do not.
Okay. And Summer Steelhead is still not active. So, does anyone have anything else they'd like to bring up? It's 29 minutes.
Oh, I got one more.
Good.
I wanted to let you know, Greg, that the contract for additional Minto pumps is supposed to be awarded today. So we'll be getting two additional VFD pumps as backups. And then I believe that the project's going to be working with you in the near future to replace those bearings on those pumps.
Yeah, I talked to Jim Butler yesterday. We're down to just one pond, down to two pumps. So I told him we're scheduled to bring Smoltz down the first week of November. So any sort of work we need to do, we got most of October that you know, we can operate off the two pumps. So if he wants to get the bearings or VFDs or those chips that were under the recall, right now is a great time.
Right, and I'll reiterate that to Jim just so that we make sure and get that done. Doesn't fall out.
Perfect.
That's all I have.
Well, all right then. Thanks everyone for calling in. If there's nothing else, I guess this meeting is adjourned.
See you guys.
Thanks.
Thank you.